Hello there, and welcome to The Bitch Fix, a podcast for women who want to jam out on their lives, live in harmony with their hormones, and reclaim their mood, energy, and mojo. I'm Christine McCarroll, functional nutritionist and women's health straight talker, and I'm here to tell it like it is on all things health, happiness, and hormones for women. So shake off that cape, Superwoman, because we're here to launch this thing. Well, hey, girl, and welcome to episode 107 of The Bitch Fix. So unlike a lot of episodes that are brought to you by my client work, this one was actually inspired directly by my own personal tracking and symptom monitoring. So I obviously see this in my clients too, because we are all humans, but I have really been seeing this the most in myself because I am looking the most closely at tracking all of my data at the moment. So as you guys know, I do a lot of self-experimentation and also tracking. I believe definitely in test, don't guess. But I also see this as another way to just get to know myself better. So I actually think I had posted about this on Instagram maybe a couple of months ago. And it is really just, I think this is like dating. So it's like dating myself, right? I am finding out what my body likes, what my body responds to, what makes her happy. And the better I know her, the better I get to know my own body, the better I can take care of her, the better relationship we can have. And I just see this with so much love and positivity. Now, I will just say it's entirely possible to take tracking in the opposite direction. So you could take tracking as here's everything that's wrong with me. Here are all the problems to be solved. Here's everything that has to be fixed. That is a choice. And I just don't choose to go down that path. I have been down that path before, obviously. Again, I'm human. I have a human brain. And humans are wired for negativity. It's called the negativity bias. It is a thing we have in our brains that makes us want to see what isn't working, what's negative first, because I think that's what has kept us safe and alive on this planet for hundreds of years. Okay, so if you hear some background noises, my dog is playing with her huge bone on the floor. Sorry about that. So in any case, we have this wiring that will bias us towards the negative. So it takes a lot of conscious effort to switch that bias. But one thing I'm definitely going to be talking about on the podcast today is about our mind-body connection. It is pretty much like the primary thing I am talking about today. And what I want you to be thinking about is that you do have control over this. So this is not like be a control freak, but it is recognizing where you have power. So we absolutely have power over that negativity bias for one, right? So I am choosing, again, as I said, to take my data as a way to be in self-care. This is how I am loving my body. This is how I am taking care of myself. This is how I am finding out what my body likes and how I can support her. Already, we're doing things like sleeping a lot more. So this can be really positive. And I think I had shared a few episodes back, I know I did, about my experience using the Whoop strap. And it's just fascinating to me to find out how different inputs basically will have an impact on my body. So kind of my, I'll say output, but really just how I am in the world, how I'm experiencing things, how I'm feeling, what's working for me. I get to find out how those inputs are affecting me. So I think about inputs like sleep and exercise, what kind of food I'm eating, alcohol, stress, where I am in my cycle. All of that can have an impact. Those are all inputs that can have an impact on my body. And so I do use a bunch of different tools. Some of them are things like, yeah, every once in a while, every 6 months or so, I go and get lab work done, right? I get my blood drawn. I also use tools that I can use at home. So I have mentioned before, I use Chronometer to track my food. And I don't necessarily do this every single day, but when I'm trying to keep an eye on things, right? I use the Whoop strap, as I shared in that episode. I use an app called Wild.ai that helps me figure out the right food for where I am in my cycle. That is a super cool app. I love it. I use Fertility Friend to track my period. I use a basal body temperature thermometer to check in on my body and how I'm responding. Again, I don't use every single one of these every single day, but maybe with the exception of the hoop strap. The hoop strap is pretty much like a part of my body right now. But besides that, I use these things to just keep an eye on where things are in my body and how I'm responding. And one of the other things that I've been tracking, and this is actually, as I was thinking about this podcast episode, this is one of the things that I have tracked for the longest. I have been tracking off and on for the last 6 years. I've been tracking my blood glucose, my blood sugar. And I have used a bunch of different tools. So it started out just me, you know, getting my, you know, my blood work, right? Periodically, I would get that fasting glucose with my blood work. But then I started doing at home using both a finger stick and I've tried the continuous glucose monitor. Now, I'm just going to stop really fast here and say that all of these tools that I've just shared, I will link up in the show notes. So this isn't advertising for any of these people or companies. This is just tools that I use and like myself, and I will link up for you to have resources in the show notes. So the finger stick has been the thing I've used the longest. I think that when I first got my first finger stick glucose monitor like 6 years ago, I started experimenting with a continuous glucose monitor, I want to say 2 years ago. And I've used that off and on as well. But as I've been back on tracking, so for about the last month or so, I haven't gotten a new continuous glucose monitor recently, and I had a whole bunch of old test strips for my finger stick kit. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to use this. I'm going to use up all of these old test strips that I had. So it's not as consistent as it could be with a continuous glucose monitor because you have to actually stick your finger, not just use a little swipe on an app. But I am still using that, and it's still giving me a ton of valuable data. I'm just going to back up again for 1 second. For those of you who don't know what the difference between these two devices is, or maybe you're wondering what in the heck is a continuous glucose monitor, I think I might have described it before, but I'm just going to take the time to do that right now. So the finger stick, most people are familiar with because a lot of people, unfortunately, maybe have people who have diabetes in their family or their friend groups, and they are familiar with how you have to monitor that. So that test you can purchase over the counter, by the way. So I'll send you a link. You can get it like on Amazon. You can also pick these up at like Walgreens, Costco, whatever, CVS. They are typically behind the pharmacy counter, but you don't need a prescription for them. So actually the other day I was at my local Walgreens and they just had them out on the shelf. They were not even behind the counter. Now, I don't know if the actual little sharp thing that you have to poke your finger with is maybe behind the counter, but just the monitors themselves were out on the store floor. So in any case, you have a little device that pokes your finger. It really doesn't hurt. I know it's a stressful thought, but it really doesn't. It doesn't hurt. You might find like the tiniest little sensation. I hardly even notice it anymore. So you poke your finger, you get one tiny little drop of blood, you put it on a test strip, you put the test strip into this monitor, and then it will tell you what your glucose number is. So what is the amount of blood sugar in your body? Then the other option that I was mentioning is the continuous glucose monitor. So the continuous glucose monitor, kind of as the name might imply, is that you are wearing it continuously. So rather than periodically stopping to check your blood sugar, you just wear it all the time. So I was really freaked out the first time that I ever got one. I was looking at it and it looks like this big, I'm just going to be totally honest with you guys. It looks like this big needle that you're going to put in your arm. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrifying. I made my kids leave the room. I was like doing deep breathing on the couch and then I put it in and it was seriously no big deal. So they don't even call it like a needle or anything. They call it a sensor, which really is more what it is. And it's flexible and it doesn't feel like anything going in. It doesn't hurt to stay in your arm. But you just do it kind of on the top, the back of the top of your arm, and it just stays there. So it has like a little sticker, and so it just sticks on there, and it stays there for 2 weeks. And the benefit of that is you don't have to keep poking your finger every time you want to find out what your blood glucose is doing. You can just either, I have a little device, or you can put an app on your phone, and you just like literally scan it like you would scan an item of food at the grocery store. So you just scan your arm, you scan that little scanner, and then it will tell you what your blood sugar is. So I really have liked using that tool because I don't have to poke my finger, and also that I'm not like wasting a whole bunch of little test strips. I guess it's not wasting, but I'm not using all of these test strips, right? It's just easier for me to just have that. And then I also find that I will test a lot more frequently. So, you know, I might be looking at, okay, what's happening with my fasting glucose, like first thing in the morning, what's happening right before I eat, what's happening after I eat, what's happening before and after exercise and different kinds of exercise. So all of those things I will be able to check like instantly and see what's happening. And I wouldn't be doing probably like 15 finger sticks in a day. So I like the continuous glucose monitor because it gives such a wide variety of information. Well, it's all the same information, but a wide variety of circumstances that you can test and you don't have to keep sticking your finger. So one thing that I have noticed as I have been doing this recently, again, I've been doing this for like 6 years, you guys, not constantly, but just periodically, I want to just check in with myself. And as I've been doing this recently, one thing I've really noticed is a strong disconnect between what my blood sugar level is at and how I'm actually feeling as far as hunger. So my tendency as somebody who has a long history, family history of type 2 diabetes is my tendency is to have higher fasting glucose in the morning. I also tend to have hypoglycemic symptoms. What's been really interesting is the symptoms are not always the same as true low blood sugar. So that's a topic for a whole other podcast episode, but hypoglycemic symptoms, I know this is going to be a shock to you guys, but it doesn't always go along with low blood sugar. There can be other reasons for those symptoms besides low blood sugar. However, that said, I am definitely somebody who I feel like I can get low blood sugar pretty easily, but I also tend to have, like I said, higher fasting morning glucose. And this is one of those things that I have noticed in myself, if I'm not pretty in tune and aware of what's happening with my blood sugar regulation, it's the one of the things in my body that can go out of whack the fastest. So I can pretty easily see if I'm not on top of my blood sugar that my hemoglobin A1C, which is the 3 month average essentially of what your blood sugar is, that number will start to creep up pretty quickly if I'm not on top of it. So I think that's just based on probably a lot of factors. It's based on my history of having type 2 diabetes in my family. It's probably based on the fact that I was vegetarian for the first 20 plus years of my life. And so I ate a huge amount of carbohydrate. I did not eat very much protein. I think there were a lot of things I did in my early years that kind of just jacked me up. So wish I had known what I know now, right? But what I've seen is that I can have a fasting glucose that is really not in line with needing to eat food, and I can still feel hungry. And I wanted to kind of share, first of all, my experience, but then also some of the interesting research behind this, and then also kind of like, how am I using this information? So the first thing is, I'm going to just give you this example that I know you guys all know, because we all learned it in high school, which is Pavlov's dog. And people say that a lot, but I don't know if they actually remember the actual experiment. So I'm just going to tell you really briefly what that actual experiment was. So in the actual experiment, so Pavlov, I guess, was the researcher. So with the dog, what they would do is they were creating an association between a bell ringing and feeding the dog. So they would ring a bell, they would feed the dog. So every time that dog would start, the dog was probably pretty smart, learned pretty quickly, bell rings, I'm going to get fed. And the dog would start salivating, right? Because that's what we do when we're expecting food. When we're hungry, we start to salivate. So the dog would start salivating. And then eventually what would happen is there didn't even need to be food present. Pavlov could just ring the bell and the dog would begin salivating because he knew it was time to eat, right? So this is what can happen to us as humans too. We think that we are way more advanced somehow. I think like we don't have biology. Oh, those are just, lowly dogs. We are totally just biological creatures the same way as dogs, cats, any other animal, right? So it might not be a bell ringing, but it might be the time on the clock or the time of day or some other association that you have that tells you it's time to eat. And you just have the thought, it's time to eat, and you still start to feel hungry. Or maybe you see some food, and it creates, especially if it's something like tempting, right? Like chips or crackers or candy bars, you're going to see it and your mouth will probably start to water because your brain knows that food tastes good and you want to eat it. That doesn't mean you actually have a need for food, right? So there is a difference between your body physically needing food and you kind of either getting hungry or having this response where you're salivating or your stomach starts to rumble because your brain is turning on this cue that says, I need to eat, right? So the research I wanted to share that I just thought was super fascinating. I first heard about this research from one of my mentors, Dr. Brian Walsh, who I've mentioned definitely on this podcast before. So what they did in this research is they took a group of people who had diabetes, type 2 diabetes, I should be clear there. So type 2 diabetes, and they grouped them into three groups. So they had the big group of participants, they put them into three groups, and they first tracked their blood sugar over the course of a week. So they kind of got an idea what these people's kind of average pattern was like with their blood glucose. So they had them then show up for this this experiment in the morning, and they didn't tell them that the experiment was related to their blood sugar. What they told them was that they were going to have them playing a video game. And what they were doing as part of the experiment, and as you might know, I'll tell you if you don't, in any sort of true experiment, the experiment works best. This is where the double blind term comes from. So double blind means neither the participants nor the researchers know exactly what's going on. In this case, it was blind because the researchers knew, but the participants didn't. So the participants didn't know that their blood sugar was being tested. They were put in rooms for an hour and a half, and they were playing video games. And what was the trick in here is that each one of those video games had a clock in the room. Each one of those rooms, I should say, had a clock in the room while they were playing the video games. One of the clocks was just spot on. It was the right speed. It was accurate. Another clock was going fast. So it was faster time than actual time. And then another clock was slow. So it was slower than actual time. And what they found was that the participants' blood sugar tracked with what time they thought it was. So there was another piece of this where they, and I don't remember exactly how they did this, but they triggered people to look at the clock frequently. I think it was something like change the game you're playing every certain amount of minutes or something like that. But they purposely made the people in the room aware of the amount of time passing. And so when they had the people come out, again, what they saw was that the people's blood sugar was tracking with what time they thought it was. So the people's glucose who were in there with a regular clock, it went down as their glucose had gone in the pattern it had gone for the entire previous week. In people who had the fast clock, their blood sugar had gone down faster in relationship to the clock, right? So the rate was the same as it would have been if the clock had been right. And then the same thing with those who had the slow clock. So where it looked like less time had passed because the clock was slow, again, their blood sugar actually stayed higher, right? So does that not just blow your freaking mind? That blows my mind, you guys. That's completely, when I first heard this, it was like the explosion of my head, right? I could not even fathom this. But I really should have been. It should not have been such a shock to me because I always think about the mind-body connection. I know about the mind-body connection. I talk about it all the time. I should have assumed that this would be true too. And it was just fascinating to me to see. And it's not because the people were trying to do this, right? I think that's the important part here. Nobody was trying to control their blood sugar. This wasn't like a hypnosis experiment where they're like, let's see if we can get people to control their blood sugar. It was unconscious, right? It was just what happened when they had a perception of the way that things were. So they had a perception that time was moving in a certain way, and it literally changed their biochemistry. It changed what was happening in their bodies, right? So putting this together, first of all, here's something funny. One of my daughters constantly, like her number one question is that a bad thing? Which I just think is so funny. Like anytime I tell her any information, like I just think it's neutral information. And her instant question is that bad? Or is that a bad thing? And I think that's so funny. So if the question in your head is that a bad thing? I'm just going to tell you, no, any information I think, can be just information, right? It doesn't have to be assigned into the positive or negative bucket. And if you choose to assign it, you can make a choice about what bucket you're assigning it to, right? So just like I talked about at the beginning, I am choosing to use me using these different tools for figuring out what's going on with me physically. I use this as self-care, right? So I'm taking the perspective of this is helping me. I'm helping my body. I'm learning about my body's responses. I'm using this as a positive thing, right? So I guess it could be a bad thing if you took it bad, but you can take this information and just say, wow, how cool is this? How can I use this to my own advantage and benefit, right? How could this be of service to my body and my health? So how I'm using this, I am using this by just being curious and interested about what's happening with my body. So curiosity is my favorite emotion. I think I've probably said that before. Curiosity is my favorite emotion because it's so useful. If you're in judgment about something, this is bad or it's good or it's going to work or it's not going to work or whatever, there's so much emotion that comes with that. But if you're just curious, you're like, I wonder what I'm going to find out, or I wonder how this particular thing is going to impact my body, you're going to have a really different kind of energy, right, to thinking about that. So I'm using this with curiosity. And what I'm doing is I'm finding that because I tend to have higher blood sugar, now this would probably be a different picture, again, with somebody with a different pattern, I tend to have higher blood sugar if I'm not, again, careful. I'm using this to find out, am I actually hungry when I'm thinking it's time to eat? And this isn't because I don't trust myself or I'm anti-intuition. I am just on to the fact that intuition isn't always just straight intuition. There's a lot of factors that go into something besides just intuition, right? And so I had a whole other episode on intuitive eating and what I think about that. I think that was relatively early on. You can go back and find out my thoughts on intuitive eating. But it's a similar idea of what I shared on that podcast episode. In the basics of it are, I don't think we can just be intuitive without any information, right? I can't just like, you know, just like Pavlov's dog, going to be like, okay, I'm just hungry, right? He heard a bell. He started salivating. You might see the Oreos and suddenly you're hungry, right? It's not about that particular, it's not about intuition, right? It's not about like my body needs something. It's a lot of times about outside input that we're maybe not even conscious of. So for me, I'm using this as a way to just get conscious about some of the unconscious things that are going on. Now, of course, like I'm looking at clocks, right? I am sitting here, I am looking at the clock. I have a daughter to get ready for school in a few minutes. That's on my mind, right? I know the clock time, like what time I usually go make myself breakfast in the morning. I have certain triggers just like everybody else. I have certain food that sits on the counter, right? So it's not that I'm like completely tuning that stuff out. I'm just like starting to become aware of how all of these inputs are coming in and where do I have some measure of control? Where do I want control even? Some of this you might be like, I don't even care, right? But for me, I'm like, oh, this is so great. I can find out that my stomach is rumbling because it's noon and I usually stop and have a break at noon and eat. But when I check my blood sugar, I can see actually I don't need to eat right now. So maybe I don't eat lunch for another hour. Maybe I'm having lunch a little bit later. Or if my blood sugar is still high, maybe I'm doing something like taking a walk with my dog before I eat lunch. Or maybe I'm really putting a heavy focus on eating protein instead of having quite as much fruit with lunch. Because again, if my blood sugar is already a little on the higher side, I'm not going to put in a bunch of fruit, or I'm not going to have a piece of toast or something, right? This isn't like deprivation. It's more just like interest, right? Okay, so I'm interested. I have a little bit higher blood sugar right now. Here's what I'm going to do about that in relationship to when I eat and thinking about what food do I want to choose and how can I serve my body best, right? So same thing with, for example, when I was using the continuous glucose monitor, I found out that if I didn't eat before working out, my blood sugar would be in the toilet after working out. And it was really interesting to me because when I found this out, I hadn't even done a tough workout. I had done this really like lovely, slow flow, chill Sunday morning yoga class. but I had gone in there fasted. I hadn't eaten anything. And when I came out of that yoga class, my blood sugar was crazy low. So that helped me see and learn, like, I actually, and I don't recommend fasting before exercise for any women for lots of reasons, but it helped me really see physically in my own body what happened when I didn't eat before I exercised and why it was important for me to make sure I had some fuel on board. So then, of course, I can go from there. I can take that and say, okay, well, what kind of fuel do I need? What do I need to do before a yoga class? How is that different from what I do before a high-intensity interval training session, right? It's going to be different. But all of this is just really helpful for me to find out what my body likes, how it responds, and how I can best serve myself. All right, so if you want to try any of this on your own, that's how I'm using it. If you want to experiment, I'm going to recommend, first of all, those two devices in the show notes. If you want to kind of check out your own blood sugar and see what's happening, you can get a fasting, or you can get a glucose monitor, you can get a continuous glucose monitor. I will link up to that in the show notes. The continuous glucose monitor is a prescription-only product. There is a website where you can get a prescription. So I will, like I said, I will link that one up, or you can talk to your doctor about it. And then the type of customizing that you do is kind of based on your own data, right? So that kind of work, the type of customizing your own plans to what your own body is telling you, is exactly the type of work that I do with my clients as well. So we look at their data, we track things, and we find out what their bodies like and what they're asking for. And we can then make super awesome bio-individual informed decisions with that information instead of just kind of shooting in the dark or guessing or using like the latest magazine article for information. So if you would like to talk to me about that, I do have a couple of spots open right now. I haven't had spots open actually for months. I've been on a pretty long wait list. I do have a couple of spots open at the moment. So if you want to talk to me, there will be a link in the show notes to schedule a time to do that as well. All right, you guys, I hope you have a great rest of your week and weekend. I hope you have some fun finding out your own data, and I will talk to you next time. Hey, if you've been on the hormonal roller coaster and want to know how to put the theories and strategies shared on this podcast to work for your body, I want to invite you to join me in my program, The Bitch Fix in Six Steps to Happy Hormones. I'll help you heal your hormones naturally so you can get your mood, energy, and mojo back and live the badass life you were designed for. This is the work I've done with hundreds of women, and it can work for you too. To learn more, go to thebitchfixin6.com. I can't wait to meet you inside.